Hey, so newsflash, we suck at training, and we've sucked at training in this industry for a very long time. And that's a problem because most employees want to stay put, but they churn. We churn at roughly about a 76% rate industry-wide. And what happens is it costs us anywhere between $30,000 and $45,000 per employee to replace that employee. Those numbers are provided industry-wide. Several research studies have supported that. The bottom line is it goes back to the way that we first greet new hires when they walk in the door and the way we set them up for success. We're really bad at it, but we don't have to be. We can get better. I'm going to talk to you on this episode about how we get a little bit better. Don't go anywhere.
There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close, and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week, I leverage my 25 years in the industry to help you build that more profitable and sustainable business. I also work directly with owners and operators from all over the country through my P3 Mastermind program. So listen, if this sounds like you, then listen up. If you've got a busy restaurant, you've been doing this for a while, you know what you're doing, you know your product is good, you know people love what you do, but you don't know where all the money goes, you get to the end of the month and you're like, where is my money? You are not alone. I work with hundreds of owners and operators who say the exact same thing, and I help show them where their money is going. There are simple systems I can help you put into place to help your managers make you a very profitable restaurant. 20% should be the gold standard. That's what we should be reaching for. If that sounds good to you and it sounds like you're not there yet, then I want to chat with you. The best way is to get started through a call, a free strategy session with me or someone from my team. This is 30 minutes where we get to learn more about you and your restaurant. You get to ask some questions about the program we run, and let's see if you're a good fit for that program. Visit restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule. Grab some time on the calendar. Again, we'll get to learn more about you and your restaurant. You'll get to learn more about the program we run. But if you're ready to figure out where all your money is going, if you're ready to have a very profitable restaurant, then we want to chat with you. Again, restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Running a restaurant means juggling a lot: staffing, inventory, customer service, and finances. Sales tax has to be done, and while no one plans to miss a deadline or miscalculate a payment, mistakes happen. When those happen, they can lead to penalties, fines, and, yeah, added stress. That's why there's Davo by Avalara. Davo integrates with your point-of-sale system and automatically sets aside sales tax daily, giving you a clear view of your actual cash flow. Then, when it's time to file, Davo files and pays your sales tax on time, in full, guaranteed. No more last-minute scrambles or costly mistakes, just seamless automation. Thousands of restaurants trust Davo, and with a 4.9-star rating on G2, it's a proven solution. Your first monthly filing is free with zero commitment. Get started today at davosalestax.com/restaurantstrategy. I will add in here, this fits in perfectly with what we're about to talk about. Again, davosalestax.com/restaurantstrategy. And yes, that link is in the show notes. Now, the churn in our industry is well known. The last piece of data I saw was that 76% of our staff turn over every single year. That's the majority of the people. So the people you started off with at the beginning of this year will almost all be gone by the end of this year. That's insane. The bigger issue, though, is most of them are saying it's because they're not set up for success. They're not greeted the right way. They're not set up with the information and the training they need. The reality is we suck at training in this industry. We have sucked for a long time. I'm going to walk you through, though, a better way of approaching training, right? So most of the time, we do what I call level one training. And really, it's got to be level one, level two, and level three. It's a three-tiered approach to training and developing our team. And basically, what we call training is really only level one, and it's just not good enough. So level one training says, how can we get a new person ready to take a station on their own by the end of 7 days? Level two training says, how can we get that person to be as good as our best person by the end of 90 days? That's a challenge. That's something we can embrace and try to hit. And then the last one says, how can we continue to develop that person so that they stay with us for the next decade? 7 days, 90 days, 10 years. That's how we should be thinking about training. Level one, level two, level three. It's a three-tiered approach to training. And we, most restaurants out there, do not come anywhere close. We put people through 3 days of training and maybe give them a quiz at the end and then fire them off onto the floor without any understanding of whether they are ready. We haven't tested them. We haven't checked them. We haven't given them support or oversight to make sure that they are selling the things that we work so hard to create. It's unconscionable, absolutely unconscionable. And the biggest restaurants out there spend 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Their manager training programs are 6 weeks, 8 weeks long. I mean, months at a time. And we usually train servers in 3 days, we train cooks in 4 days, we train a manager in a week and a half. It's insane. We suck at training. Let's embrace it. Let's swallow that pill and say we can do better. The way we do better, and the way I would like you to do better, is thinking of this in terms of level one, level two, and level three. Again, level one, how do we get somebody ready to take a station on their own by the end of 7 days? Level two, how do we get them to be as good as our best person by the end of 90 days? And then level three, how do we continue to support them and develop them over the course of the next decade, right? So it's basically setting goals for ourselves, challenging ourselves to accomplish those things. And if you do that, your restaurant will be better for it. So let's go in. How do we do it? When we talk about training, level one training, let's start here. You greet the person at the front door with a new hire packet. That new hire packet has the employee handbook, the service manual, the menu descriptions, all of their new hire paperwork that they have to fill out to be onboarded in the first place. You've got a floor plan, you've got the philosophy, you've got everything in there that they need. It's literally, you set it up in a manila folder, you put that in a filing cabinet, have 10 of them made for front of house, 10 of them made for back of house. Set pars on those things. I used to do this all the time. Set pars for those things, just like you set pars in the kitchen. So when it falls below 10, you got to print off some and prepare another new hire packet. Then, when you have a new hire starting on Thursday, you know they're arriving Thursday at 4 o'clock. You just have to grab that folder at 3:50 and go upstairs, meet them at the front door. You literally will wait at the podium or sit at a chair at the bar and you wait for them to walk in. And you greet them. Hi, my name is Chip. I'm so glad to have you on board. Here's your packet. We'll go through all of this in a minute. Let's get your stuff. Let's stow away your stuff and let me give you a tour of the place. Welcome them, greet them, show them around, make them feel like you are ready for them. This is the place for them. This is how you make them feel valued. And if that seems stupid or overly simplistic, you'd be amazed at how infrequently it happens and what a big impression that makes on the new hires that we bring on board. So have the new hire packet ready, greet them at the front door. You give them a tour, you sit them down, you say, great. Now fill out your paperwork. Let's make copies of all your information, and then I'll talk to you about what's going to happen the rest of the night. Then you sit down and you say, day one of training is this. You are going to be with so and so. You pass them off. You hand them off. At the end of every training session, I say you should be sitting down with them, or one of your managers should be sitting down with them. I always say you should be giving them a quiz at the end of every day, not as a pop quiz, not as a gotcha. You're going to tell them, say, hey, listen, these are the things I need you to learn by the end of the shift. We're going to give you a quiz at the end to make sure you've internalized those things. So, hey, what's our phone number? What's our address? What's the name of the chef? What's the name of the GM? What's our phone number? What's our website? What are our two signature dishes? What are the table numbers? What are the seat numbers? Those are things that, let's say, a new server can certainly pick up over the course of a six-hour training shift. And what happens is that we make sure that they've internalized all that, because there's going to be more information for them on day two and day three and day four. We want to make sure that every day is stacking and we are bringing them along. At the end of every training shift, I sincerely believe you should give them a little quiz, 8 questions, 10 questions for back of house and front of house, and then you should sit down with them, take the temperature of the water, ask them, hey, what did you see? What did you like? What did you not like? What questions do you have? What confused you? How can I continue to get you where I need you to get? You do that at the end of every single training shift, whether that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 training shifts, whatever it is. Give them a little quiz at the end and sit down with them and talk to them. If there are issues, you'll know that on night 1 or night 2. That's how you don't invest 7 days of training. Maybe you learn in 2 days, hey, there's something off about this person. Hey, I don't think they're really drinking the Kool-Aid the way we need them to. Then you separate there rather than going through and investing day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7. That's the way you make that really great. I think everybody should have some sort of test at the end. So if it's a server, it's a bartender, it's some sort of written test or maybe a verbal test. For a cook, let's say, or a prep cook, you need to see their skills. You need to see that they have taken on, that they've internalized all the things that they've been taught, right? If you're starting them on garmanchet, do they know how to do the prep? Do they know how to do their mise? Do they know how to execute certain dishes that will come off garmo, right? You need to test that. You need to know. You need to know if they're ready to do that. That's how we dial in level 1 training. Again, there's a lot of stuff I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do it really well. Those are the ways to dial it in, tighten the screws on level 1. Level 2 is something that almost no restaurant does. Big restaurant groups do it, right? The chains will do it really, really well. What I need you to do is embrace this idea that you need to teach them more than you've taught them just in their first 7 days. And I always give the example, the first restaurant group I worked for in New York City did this exceedingly well. New servers, for example, so this restaurant was 400 seats in the heart of Times Square, 75 servers on the schedule. You gotta believe that 80% of them were green right off the bus, didn't have any idea about any of the food or products they were serving. And so for the first 12 weeks, they basically took 12 food classes every Monday, 12 wine classes every Wednesday, 12 spirit classes every Friday. So for the first 3 months, they had to do food classes on Monday, wine classes on Wednesday, spirit classes on Friday. The idea being that I think we can teach them more about our menu, about the products we serve. And I hated it when I was coming up. It drove me crazy. It felt like such a waste of time. It was really encroaching upon my life, my lifestyle, all of that. But at the end of it, I got to tell you, I was like, I see, I understand. There was a method to the madness and I'm so much better off. I'm such a better salesperson. I appreciate this industry more. It sparked creativity and curiosity in me. That was level 2 training, right? How they continued to teach us and better us over the course of those first 3 months. The idea is, how can you get somebody to be as good as your best person by the end of 90 days? That's a good way to start. Now, do you have to do 3 classes a week every single week over the, no, probably not. Could you do 1 class? Could you do 12 classes? So every Friday from 3 to 4, there's a class and basically new hires are given a punch card and they have to do those 12 classes. Meaning if they start and we're at week 7, they do 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and they go around and do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Could you do that? I'm sure you could. Where there's a will, there's a way. And there's probably things you can teach them that will help them be better salespeople on the floor, that will help them be better at their job and be better for you. That's level 2 training. Finally, level 3 training is absolutely crucial, right? This has to do with development. I think you should be meeting with your managers every month, and I should think you should be meeting with your hourly employees, your line level employees, at least once a quarter, right? At least once a quarter. If you want to meet with them every month too, great, but at least once a quarter. Our professional lives exist to serve our personal lives. What we really want to do is hang out with our family and friends and do the things that we care about and travel and all of that. But most of us are not independently wealthy, so we need to make money to be able to do the things that we want to do. That's our professional life. Our professional life is in service of our personal life. And you have to keep tabs. You have to keep your finger on the pulse of where your people are. Our priorities change. Certainly for me, and I'm guessing for all of you, the things that I cared about and were important to me at 20 were different than at 30 and 40 and on. And I'm sure it's the same for you and all of your people. So understand where they are and what they care about. And then make sure you're supporting them and make sure that you're seeing the people who are ready for more, who are interested in more, and you give them paths forward. I'm going to use an example again from that very first restaurant group that I worked in when I first moved to New York City. One of the things they did is they looked at people who are really good servers who had an aptitude and an interest in wine, let's say. And each of their 12 restaurants in New York City had a wine director. That wine director pretty much worked Tuesday through Saturday. So they had Sundays and Mondays off. Those were our slower nights. And if they were going to take 2 nights off and they needed to take 2 days off, those are the nights they were going to take off. And somewhere along the way, some enterprising individual at the corporate headquarters said, hey, you know what? There are people who really care about wine. And I wonder if we paid them a shift pay of, let's say, $250 and had them put on a suit and walk around with a wine list and speak intelligently about wine, if we would sell more wine. Here's the coolest part. What they discovered is that having somebody, even if they were ill-equipped and didn't certainly have the knowledge that these wine directors did, just putting somebody on the floor in a suit talking to tables about wine increased their wine sales. So it didn't matter if this person was as qualified as the wine director, just somebody speaking passionately, intelligently about wine sold more wine. It was a win-win. Because on the other side, that server who got to put on a suit for a night, right, felt like, oh, I get to try this on. I get to see if I like doing this. And one of the trade-offs is they would have these servers, right? And P.S., I was one of these people who showed an aptitude and a real interest in wine. And they said, hey, on Sunday nights, do you want to sell wine on the floor? We'll pay you shift pay of $250 and feed you at the end of the night. No brainer, absolutely. And part of what I also had to do was I had to help check in orders, and I had to help be basically a cellar rat. And I learned how to do inventory, and I learned how to check in, log invoices and check in orders and make sure everything was correct. Was that the sexy part of the job? It certainly was not. But it allowed me to do the very sexy part of the job, which sort of went took me down that path. Now, doing that, I realized, oh, no, this is not what I want. I'm glad I had the opportunity. But for every one of me who said, oh, this is not what I want to do, there were three others who went, oh, God, I love this. I definitely want to do more of this. And they then were shepherded into wine director positions. So an assistant sommelier, a wine director, and they were given other opportunities. So my point being that they had the level one, level two, and level three training dialed in. And to be honest, it's not that hard. It begins by understanding what your people want and need out of this job, and then putting yourself in a position and putting providing them with opportunities to do those things, to check those things out. That's how you keep people for longer than a year. That's how we get out of this 76% churn. You make sure you understand what your people need and keep providing them with new ways to get what they need. I started off by saying we suck at training, and I'll finish by saying we don't have to suck at training. Do this thing. Challenge yourself to just continue to grow and broaden your existing training program. I'm telling you, it's not that hard. It doesn't take a lot of effort. If we do this, we can make a better industry. We can hold on to more people. Ultimately, that's going to breed loyalty between our customers and the people who serve them. It's going to be better for all of us.